Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, aka the Beard Guy here. I'll say that again: the rise of the micro brands. Lunch with Norm. All right, I've decided to repeat everything twice today. How's that? It wasn't a mistake. But all right, guys, today on the show, I can't wait to talk to my buddy, Tomer Rabinovich. Anyways, he's an Amazon expert. He's been selling for 4 or 5 years. He grew into a successful businessman with zero background in online sales. And he's an incredible guy. So in this episode, Tomer and I are going to be talking about the next step outside of the day-to-day activities while still being in control. We're going to be discussing when a seller should start looking at delegating tasks, what they need to delegate tasks, and why you should and how you should hire. So how's that? Anyways, where's Kelsey?
There I am.
Oh, there you are. So you have to say everything twice today.
You know what? We're 76 episodes in. I thought you'd be able to get that line finally, but still.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It was in the script.
All right. So we already have Dr. Kaz joining us from LA.
All right.
Sunny Dr. LA. Kaz. Nice t-shirts and shorts. Nice. Red. Hello, right, Red. Welcome. But as everyone's joining, if you are watching from the Facebook group, you know, we've had the issue whenever it says like anonymous user or like private user. We got around that, but you guys need to go to this link. This is posted in the Facebook group. You need to press on this link and just open up your settings and it should fix the problem. So just
unless you want to be anonymous,
but if you're posting and commenting from a Facebook group, it comes up as unknown user or something like that. So if you go to this, this fixes the problem. Okay, we got Mark joining us. Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Welcome. And we got Nathan from San Diego.
All right.
Simon. All the regulars are here. Nice to see you guys. And yeah, so we are an official podcast. So Apple, Spotify, any of those platforms, you'll be able to find Lunch with Norm. Also, if you're new here and you miss an episode, you can find everything on the YouTube channel. It's right there. Full episodes, short clips. We mix it up. And we got Elchin joining us.
All right. Hello. Hey, Elchin.
From Turkey. Nice.
All the way from Turkey. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And so if you have any questions about today's episode, please feel free to put them in the comments. I'll be kind of curating everything. We'll try to get through at least one question from everyone. But if we miss something, you can always post into the group. And yeah. And we got Ray from Dubai. Wow.
Nice. An international crowd for sure.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, Elchin, you know, I went to Turkey, well, not just recently, but I went to this really incredible place. I think it was called, I'm going to say it wrong, the Ephesus. Anyways, I just wanted to let you know that I was in Turkey. I saw that site and it was unbelievable. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but anyways, this is an old ancient city.
Okay, and
just completely off topic, by the way, Kels. I just thought I'd say that.
Yeah, no worries. It's your show. And so this is the Facebook user. This is from Marina and Wendy. Marina and Wendy, if you want to be seen instead of Facebook user with your picture, just go to the link that's in the group and you'll be able to fix it.
Fantastic.
And we got Argo from Estonia. Wow, we got around the world. Okay, so let's just jump into it. We do have a prize. We'll start it off right now.
We have multiple prizes.
We got 5 prizes today. Yeah, do you want to say the hashtag now or should we wait for Tomer?
We can start right now if you like.
Okay. All right. So we're giving away 5 hours of Tomer's time. If you want Tomer, hashtag I want Tomer, and you'll be entered into the prize. There's 5 entries for this. So 1 hour.
5 1-hour sessions with Tomer. If you have not heard of Tomer Rabinovich, he is a world-class consultant, coach. I mean, he does it all. And on top of that, he's a multi-million-dollar Amazon seller. So getting an hour of his time will be worth it. And yes, Victor, of course you've been there. All right. So let's get this thing started. Oh, Kelsey's letting me start. I don't, he's not even being annoying. Oh, there he is.
I'm still here.
Okay. All right. So if anybody has any comments, just put them over on the right-hand side. And if you have comments or questions, we'll get to them as soon as we can. Anyway, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the show. There he is. The man, the myth, the legend. How are you, sir?
Very good. How are you, my friend?
I'm not worthy.
Very good to see you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Usually we bump into each other everywhere, all over the world. But it's great to see you again.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I went to an event and you weren't there, you know? I don't know when that happened.
Well, it's the same with you. How's that? Yeah. So, I guess, why don't we, for those of us that don't know you or don't know your background, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I started selling on Amazon back in 2015. I had already from the very beginning had multiple brands that I was running just because I found kind of opportunity after opportunity. So just open more brands. That's not the way to go, if you ask me, looking back. But that's kind of what happened, and took me about like 2 years into that business. I went full time, and also had 12 people working for me in the Philippines. Some were part time, some were full time. That didn't work out at all. Fired the entire team, started over, and then it worked a lot better. And that's part of what we'll discuss today. And also on top of my own business, I also consult 7- and 8-figure sellers all around the world for the past few years. I also host the Top Dog Summit that you were in multiple times over here in Israel. I'm from Israel. So, yeah.
And by the way, the Top Dog Summit is one of the best events I've ever gone to. So anybody gets a chance to go, if we can ever get together again, right. I would highly recommend going to
Yeah, and I also Tomer. Said, like, that one event is never going to be virtual. The whole point is the networking and everything. So I'm not moving that to be virtual or anything. So it's just going to be live whenever that's going to be possible.
Perfect. Sir, let's get into it. So what are some mistakes that you made right off the bat starting your Amazon? And I want to talk more about mistakes you made with looking for people.
Yeah, so I think like when I started, and I wanted to start outsourcing, you can say. Now, when we talk about outsourcing, we need to be very clear here that we all outsourced many things. Even if you have your first product, you outsourced the production. You outsourced to a freight forwarder. You outsourced your graphic design, copywriting. All of that was outsourced to experts, usually to freelancers, to help you out. What we are talking about is when you hire someone to kind of work with you in your business every single day. And usually what happens is you hire someone for customer support. That's usually the first hired people do because it's the easiest one to usually hire. The problem is that the mistake that I think I made back then is that I hired someone for like 2 hours a day, and that was that. So they were just working 2 hours a day, every single day. And the problem with that is they have other jobs, or they are looking for a different job instead, or whatever it is, you know? So they are just very busy. I think when you don't have someone working for you full time, they will never be with you. So that's, I think, the first mistake that I can think of that people are doing instead of hiring full time from the very beginning.
And it really doesn't cost that much to hire, you know, 10 hours a week to 40 hours a week, right?
Yeah, and I think what sellers always say is, what are they going to do for this all of this time that they have to work for me? But we'll talk about that as well. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is, I think, the first mistake that you think in your head that you are so good at what you do, which is selling on Amazon. So only one person can do customer service. Another person can do inventory management. Another person can do PPC. Every person has like a very small piece of the puzzle, and you kind of orchestrate that whole thing. And that's, I think, the first mistake. That's the first business that I had. So I had 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day, full time, 12 people total, and they were all reporting to me. So I was very much the bottleneck of my own business, and they didn't really talk to each other that much. So that was the main issue there. So that is not the way to go from my experience. Yeah.
So when you started out, so you're selling, you're starting to get busier, all of a sudden you're panicking a little bit because you're getting overwhelmed. So what are the steps that you take? Who or how do you track your first delegation or task?
Yeah, so yeah, I think the first thing you should be delegating is the thing that you are also kind of sick of doing yourself. You don't really want to do it yourself anymore. And you know how to kind of teach someone else how to do it the way you want it to get done. And again, usually customer service is very simple. For others, it might even be PPC. Maybe you know how to do PPC really well and you kind of want to get rid of it. So you hire someone and teach them your way of doing it. But with customer service, that's kind of the first thing that I would say that most people will do. So, yeah.
And what do you do when you want to start to record the task? Do you have a process that you're doing?
Yeah, so I think, again, this is another thing that a lot of sellers are fixated on. They think they need a lot of SOPs, so standard operation procedures, in their business, like long PDFs explaining where to click, where to do everything. My question is, how many SOPs did you do for yourself when you started selling on Amazon? Probably zero, right? And mm-hmm. everything is on YouTube now anyway, so you can just send them a link to YouTube on how to do something anyway. So my suggestion is this. You basically hire to grow, and you don't grow so you could hire someone. The growth comes from you hiring and starting to delegate tasks. So I always recommend, once you see that you are working too many hours and everything and you're wasting time on $3-$4 an hour tasks when your time is worth a lot more, that's the time to actually hire someone and teach them something. So that teaching can be over the shoulder type of thing. So they just, you share the screen with Zoom or Skype or whatever, you record it. And then what I tell them to do is they write the SOP from what they understand from that video. I believe that's the correct way to do SOPs and not you sitting down and writing it yourself, because the best way you can learn anything is to teach someone else how to do it. So they are basically writing it and teaching themselves how to do that task. And then when I go in and I just read that document, I immediately know if they got the task or didn't get a task they need to get done. So it's that simple, yeah.
Do you use an app like Sweet Process or anything like that?
No, again, I don't think that's really needed. I know what those are. There are a lot of different apps that basically record your screen while you do something, and then they make it into a nice PDF. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think that's needed, and I think they will learn more just by writing that SOP themselves, by taking screenshots and everything. And if that's not enough at the end, they also add another video on top of what I did. And that, then we have a video, we have a written document, and we're done. Yeah.
Just like that. Yeah. Easy.
Easy, yeah.
One of the apps that we use, Melissa's joined us. There we go. One of the apps that we use, and this is something that we use almost every day, is Loom. It's a free app. You can get a premium package, but you just record whatever you're doing. And I know Vandana's probably listening right now, and her eyes are rolling. That's my assistant, and she gets bombarded with Loom videos every day. But that's what we do. We just record what you were saying. If somebody has to learn something new, they go through the video. I think that's a really good point. I don't do that. What you were talking about, just send the video and have the person just write the SOP. My step is I have the person watch the video. We go through, I put together, or I train my staff to put together SOPs, but that's that one step removed that you're doing. Is I go back, I put down a ton of steps. So not just 10, I might have 30 steps, every little click. And then I go through it, or the person I've trained goes through it with that person. To learn the SOP. But that's great. Getting the person to do it themselves, it's a great way to train the person and to find out if they understand it correctly, right? So if it comes up and it's wrong, this is what I tell everybody that works with me. Don't sweat it if you make a mistake. I mean, I want you to make a mistake the first time or the second time. I don't want you to make a mistake the third time. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I will also add to that we never use PDF files anymore, because you cannot edit them. They are not editable, and you cannot, you don't really want to redo your SOPs all the time and just keep updating them that way. So we use Google Sites for this. If you go to sites.google.com, that's a free service that you can use. It's kind of like sharing a document in Google Drive, let's say a Word document, for example, but instead it sits in, it's like a Wikipedia site for your own company. So everything is stored there, all of our SOPs, everything, all the details about our products. I call it like the text of the company. Anything that is text goes there. Also my home address, so to send samples for, like everything you can think of, like bank information that is not sensitive, like passwords and things like that. So everything, every small piece of information about the business goes there. And again, that was built over 3 years time. Like that was built with time. You don't need to start with that. You just build it with time. So you can either use that. Also Notion. The Notion is a great tool, which is free.
Hold it. So go back to those. What was it called? I've never heard of it.
It's called Google Sites. If you go to sites.google.com, you will just see it. You can just open an account with your Google account. And if you have like G Suite account, your name at brand.com, if you have that, you can just open that Google site for that specific brand. And then all your employees immediately have access to that as soon as you open it up. You can also limit the access if you want to different sections in your site. But that's a very simple place. You can just store all of the information in your company just in one place.
Well, what about outside people? So we have a lot of people that aren't employees that don't have a Gmail domain, right, or an email. Are they still allowed? Can you still allow them to?
This is not really for that. This is not really for them to see SOPs or anything. For them, we just do that in different ways. We can just like email them with that SOP, or you just copy paste. It's like, again, like imagine a Wikipedia page with everything on the side, and you just click and you open anything that you need.
Oh, very
cool. So that's kind of how we have set up. Yeah.
And you mentioned another one,
Notion.io, I believe. That's another tool that you can use, that I know different sellers use as well. Again, it can be used for many different things like task management and a whole bunch of other things, but a lot of people use it for like a kind of wiki site for your business. So that's another solution that people use.
All right. I just saw Victor say that he uses ClickUp as well.
Yeah, ClickUp is a more elaborate tool for task management, communication, and also data and everything that we just discussed, but it's a more elaborate thing. Yeah.
Okay. So now you said at the beginning, and I've experienced this so many times, especially with social media people. Oh my God. Social media is a tough one to hire. But for people hiring, how do you go about hiring and finding the right person for the job without going through 100 people?
Yeah. So I think it's going to be different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think my best skill is actually explaining exactly what I want and how I want it to get done. So for me, I hired people from the Philippines only with zero experience. Like everyone that I hired had no prior experience before in my Amazon business. In my consulting business, I did it a bit differently. But in my Amazon business, I just knew kind of how I want to get things done, and I just taught them everything. Now, what happens is new things come around, like ManyChat, right? ManyChat came around, I think, like 2017 or something. And I wanted to obviously use that strategy with my employee who was doing social media at the time, and she was only doing like daily posts on Instagram and Facebook, and that was pretty much it. So what we did is I basically understood how to do one simple flow of ManyChat, taught her how to do it, and then she did a few flows with some Facebook ads, and we lost like $5,000 immediately without doing anything. So then I thought, how can I I want to work with her. I don't want to hire a freelancer to manage my ManyChat and not really know what's going on. So I hired an expert on Facebook ads that also knew ManyChat. Again, it was just at the very beginning of ManyChat. And that expert sat down with my employee for 10 hours. We paid $50 an hour, so we paid $500. And after those 10 hours, my employee was an expert in what we needed at the time for ManyChat sequences with Facebook ads.
Then she left and started her own ManyChat business?
No. So again, that's another thing with the Philippines. They don't really think like that. I think if you pay them full time, regardless of how much they work, they will stay with you forever. I didn't let anyone go since this new kind of structure. So, yeah.
Nice. So you're actually hiring consultants or coaches for specialized tasks like ManyChat.
Right. To train kind of my employees, basically. So this can either be to train my employees or just to outsource that completely, but I still very much want to know what's going on. Like, if you right now use an agency for PPC, I highly recommend, or hopefully you are doing it already, you know exactly what they're doing in your account. Because if you don't, and sales drop tomorrow or something happens and you want to let them go, you can't, because you don't really know what they're doing, right?
Right.
So it's very important to have someone on your team, if you don't have anyone, it's you, that needs to know what they're doing to your account. Not because you are going to exchange them, like you're going to replace them tomorrow with internal team that it runs it, but you have to know what's going on. This is your biggest expense after your cost of goods, right? So, yeah, you have to know what's going on, basically.
Yeah, and I guess if you take a look at the scheme of things, you know, going out and hiring somebody at $50 an hour, I mean, you should, as the business owner, be looking at those $100 or $1,000 tasks and building your business. And that $50 an hour for 10 hours is worth its weight in gold by teaching somebody correctly.
Right. I heard you say this before, Norm, I think 3 years ago maybe. And that really sparked something in my head, like the $1,000 an hour. So I think the reason people don't really think that way is because when you start, your time is worth $0 an hour, right? Because you don't have any products. And as you start building your business, you have tasks like finding a new product can be like $1,000 an hour task, right? Just looking for products for 10 hours can easily be worth $10,000 like long term, right? If you find a good product. But spending 10 hours on customer service worth, $30, $50 total, right? So if I spend an hour looking for a product, like doing customer service, and my time is worth, even $100 an hour, I'm basically losing like $97 for every hour I'm working on customer support. And I basically tell people, like, you are not paying your employees to work for you. They are paying you because they're releasing you of all of this time that you don't need to work in your business, right?
Right. So, hey, Kels, are there any questions?
Yep, we got some questions coming up. So from Tony, is there an ongoing competition to keep the best talent for your business?
I'm not sure what he means by this. Norm, do you know?
I'm not sure. Hey, Tony, can you clarify that a little bit? Do you mean just finding the best talent, like a talent pool, or while they're working in your business?
Okay. As we wait for that, from Rad, do you hire a VA from the Philippines and India? Could you share the cost?
Yeah, sure. I only hired people for $3 an hour, again, because they didn't have any prior experience and all of them are from the Philippines. And I also, we'll talk about this in a few seconds, but we are promoting them to become managers. Once they are managers, they're getting $4 an hour. That's it. That's how much I pay. But again, I can allow myself to pay that because I teach them everything. If you bring an expert from the outside, it's going to cost you a few times over, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I always talk about, paying higher in the Philippines, but you already have that person with the skill set. If you're teaching them, then that's great. I know one of the things that we do, it doesn't happen right off the bat, but when we're hiring somebody, we do this right off the bat. We get a screenshot of their internet speed. We take a screenshot of their computer and they send it to us because one thing we will pay for, I don't know if you do this, but we pay for upgrading your internet. We need that because let's say your internet is extremely slow. Well, that $3 turns into $9 or $12 because they can't communicate.
Right.
And over a period of time, so we'll, over a 6 month period, we'll get them a computer if they have a slow computer. Yeah. So as they grow with us, we're also increasing, like you said, increasing their wage, bringing them up to that manager position so they can train SOPs. And then I don't know about you, but at the most that we've done is bought a generator for somebody because they were always losing power.
Yeah, that happens a lot in the Philippines.
It does. It happens a lot. Yeah. Okay, Kels, more questions.
Yes, from Yelchin. Tomer, how do you find these guys from the Philippines?
So you can use onlinejobs.ph. This is what I did. I used Upwork for my first hire. So I did something similar to what Norm just said. I basically typed in, I'm looking for a customer service employee that will start as 4 hours a day and it's going to move to full time if we're both happy. Okay. then I had some like a lot of questions for them before even jumping on an interview. And those questions are kind of like questions for your supplier just to see if they are serious enough about this job. So this is a screenshot about their, you know, internet speed, even a picture of their work environment to see where they work and operate. I even sent them a few tests, like emotional intelligence tests and IQ tests and a bunch of other things, just to see if they will do it. I don't even really look at whatever they're doing. I just want to see who is serious about this. And then we jump on an interview. And that interview, by the way, is just text and not a video interview, because I'm just texting my employees all day. We are not really talking that much on video calls. So the most important thing for me is text, especially customer service, because that's all they're going to do with their customers, right? With your customers. So that's how I hired my first employee. And that first employee helped me hire everyone else. So what I did after that is I just gave my employee more and more and more tasks. And part of the interview, by the way, is asking them, do you want to become a manager one day? Do you want to really work for me full time, not just doing customer service, but doing whatever it takes to grow and become a manager? And if they agree to that, not everyone does, but if they do agree to that, I basically, again, train them and everything. And then once they have too many tasks, so let's say we start with customer service, then I teach them how to do product research. Then I teach them like basic stuff in social media or whatever it is. Once it's too much, I basically promote them. And then they get me five people. Now, when they get me five people, they go to their Facebook groups. They go talk to friends. They talk to whoever they want. They can post on Upwork, whatever they want. They get five people. They interview those five people. They tell me who they think we should hire and why. And only then I'm doing the interviews myself. And we decide together, because that decision needs to come together, because they are going to be responsible for that next employee. So that's why it's so important. So I strongly advise that whoever you hire as your first hire should be someone that will work with you full time. And maybe it will take a month, 2 months, 3 months to get them there to kind of build that position in your company. But that's kind of how you should do it, because long term, it's going to be so beneficial to you, because they will. And guess what? I didn't need to train a whole bunch of employees. I only trained two people in my team, and they trained the rest of them, because they know every single task in this business. It's kind of like you think of a restaurant and someone becomes a waiter, then she becomes the hostess, then she becomes a you know, shift manager, then she helps the owner maybe afterwards, right? So that's kind of what you're doing. You're just promoting that person internally in your company instead of bringing like outside experts into your company, which was kind of my what my first company was like. And they don't know your team, they don't know your products, you don't know anything about them. And many times it's more difficult to kind of manage it that way. And also when you bring someone with experience, a lot of times you teach them how you want the things to get done and they learn it and then they go back to their old ways of doing it. So that happens many times as well. So that's why I preferred like blank slate, teach them how I want the things to get done and then they don't know anything else. So that's just how they do it.
Nice. One of the other things that we'll do, and Kelsey's going to roll his eyes, but we have our team take 1 hour a day. They don't care when they do it, but it could be 1 hour or 5 hours on Saturday or whenever it is for training. We pick up the training. They want to learn something, we pick it up. So we want people to be experts in whatever they do. So that's just a bonus, again, that they can use, but it's something that everybody has to do on the team.
Right. And again, I can just say one more thing about this, that let's say you are looking, you have someone in your team and you're looking for a copywriter in Fiverr, okay, for example. So you say, get me a copywriter from Fiverr, right? Or get me five. So what are they going to do? Just going to browse Fiverr, send you five, you know, like pages of Fiverr, and you just need to decide who to hire, right? Instead of that, always ask for your employee's opinion before. So you say, instead of saying that, you say, get me five people from Fiverr. Tell me who you think we should hire and why. And when they do that, you will usually just say, okay, that's fine. Like, you're not really, they're just going to do the same process that you are. You don't want your employees to be a pipe between you and whoever you're going to work with, because then they are useless. You are still the bottleneck. You still need to make all of these decisions every single day, and you don't want to have that decision fatigue. You want to kind of avoid making so many questions, making so many decisions every single day. You want to avoid some of those.
That's so important, and that's one huge way to create a performance-based culture. You know, if they come to you and just say, you know, how do I do it? Here it is. You're right. You're the bottleneck. So let the person solve the problem. That's so important.
Yeah. they know that whenever they talk to me and ask me a question, my question back is going to be, what do you think? So they don't do that anymore. They just tell me this, this, and this. This is what I think. What do you think? You know, they already come with their opinion about it. And that's what I want. I want them to think for themselves, right? That's the whole point here.
Right, right. All right, Kels, any more questions?
No, not right now.
I saw something from Tony come up. Was it regarding...
More a statement. I'm also reluctant to give out references of referrals these days. The person who does my Google Now has gotten so much business because they have so many more clients. The service has gone down. He's also asked about if you use Fiverr, but I think we covered that.
I think all of those Fiverr, Upwork, all those are great to find experts in their field, just to work with your team as like a one-time thing, like a copywriter. Or it can be, let's say, ManyChat and just teach your team to do something. So that's all up to you. That's kind of what company you want to have, what you still want to keep in-house, what you don't mind outsourcing outside of your company. That's kind of up to you. I can say that we are not doing anything on an expert level internally, probably, and we outsource all of that outside of the company. And we are very systemized and organized in how we operate. So,
how much of your time is now delegated?
I work about 4 hours a week now in my business. And that's mainly meetings with my team. So right. I have two calls with my two managers once a week. I have another call once a month, which is a strategy call with the entire team. Each member of the team has goals they need to work on for 90 days at a time. That keeps them also, again, outside of whatever their comfort zone is and what they know how to do. That helps them kind of grow outside of that when they have goals. I don't work that much on that business, but I am very much involved still. Everything goes through me, just to be clear. Like, I still approve every single shipment that comes out. The money goes out of my bank account directly by me approving it. So all the samples get to my house. I approve everything that goes on, but I don't do anything actively in the business anymore.
So, do you have different department? Like, is your accounting outsourced?
Accounting is outsourced, yeah. Legal? Yeah, accounting and financing is outsourced, and they work only directly with me. That's the only thing that is kind of directly with me, because my entire team is in the Philippines. So I didn't really want to give it to anyone else in the Philippines or something. So I still do that. But yeah.
Okay, and then for legal, what do you do? Do you have somebody that represents, or do you go out to UpCounsel or sites like that?
We have different attorneys that we work on different things when we need it. I, as you know, Norm, we both have like a wide network of people that we know and trust. So those people like work in my accounts as much as needed for that. So.
Okay, very good. All right, look, before we go on any further, I know we've got 5 giveaways, and I want to give away one of those giveaways to people that are listening. So if you didn't tune in at the very beginning, Tomer is going to be giving away 5 1-hour consults, which is awesome. Thank you, Tomer. Sure. Let's give away one right now. And all you have to do is put in, I want Tomer. And Kelsey, you want to spin the wheel of Kelsey?
Yeah, just give me a second. So I believe there was stipulation. Tomer, you prefer someone selling around 50,000 or more? Is that
correct? Hopefully, but even if they are active on Amazon, I can help them out. Like, if
so, as long as you're active on Amazon, then we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Jason, just saw that he popped up.
Yeah, he wants Tomer.
Yep. Everybody wants Tomer.
All right. So I'm going. So we got Milos, Michael, Tony. Okay. So I'm going to stop that for now. We still have 5 or 4 other giveaways. So
let's
do this. So,
okay. So this.
Tony. Okay. So I'm going to share my screen. And we're going to go through people that haven't won before. Share screen. CryptoTab. Names.
Do you want me to do Jeopardy song?
Okay, no, I think I got it. I'm not sure, Victor, if you've won before, but I'm gonna assume.
Let Victor go. Let's just spin this.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Oh.
It's Audi.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, he squeaks it out. Okay. So okay. There's one for you, Tomer. Congrats. Cool. And everybody else will be kept in, and you'll just be adding them as we go. Right, Kels?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, okay. So Lauren, you actually started to ask me about departments. Yeah. So I do believe in departments in your own company. We changed the kind of structure throughout like the life cycle of this business. But basically, I have two managers and five employees that they manage. So seven people total. I also wanted to keep a very lean team and not go crazy because that's going to be more time consuming as well. So I like having a very small team.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the way I kind of have it structured is that one person is in charge of SEO. So they're doing all the keyword research, PPC, anything with keywords basically in the business. I have another person doing inventory. So everything to do with reordering, managing the 3PL suppliers, China, all of that stuff, they're handling that. I have a creative person handling all of the images, videos, copy. And that person is also responsible for product research. Then I have a customer experience person, so someone who is managing like reviews, support, also trying to create something that I call a six-star experience with my own products. Then I have a social media person who is managing all of the Facebook, Instagram launches of new products they're responsible for, because we mainly use social media just for launches. And then I have the management. So they're in charge of like the strategy, KPIs, you know, human resources and salaries for the employees and everything. And those six departments kind of run throughout the company. And I used to have it a bit differently than I do now, but basically every employee kind of manages the department now. And that's kind of how I have it. And almost everyone work with someone who we outsource for. So like they are in touch with more people outside of their teams. And the managers don't really have any day-to-day work they need to get done. They have their goals and they have their team and they help them out whenever the team needs. So let's say someone cannot do something or someone needs a day off or whatever, the manager can take over. If a manager needs time off, the other manager can kind of come in and just help out if needed or whatever. So I'm not really, hanging on someone in my team and just must have them every single day or it collapses. So I always have a backup if whatever happens. So
that was going to be my next question about the overlap. I mean, it's complete madness. And it's a fragile, like you're really walking on thin ice if you don't have that overlap. You know, if you have the ability to, like you said, for example, we just have somebody go on mat leave. Luckily, we had somebody that can take over, you know, for
we had that happening. Yeah.
You know, so you've always got to be prepared. One step, you know, like you said at the beginning, it's a chess game. You know, you got to be in front. You got to play that second move. All right. What about communication? So, you know, it's coming from the top down. How do you get people to communicate?
So, again, I believe, so I mentioned kind of the information, right? How we store the information, where to search it, which is Google Sites. Then we have the files of the company that's stored in Google Drive. Then we have the communication and tasks and all that stuff. So up until recently, we just used Slack for all of the communication inside the team. We are still using Slack. We are transitioning to a different tool because tasks are managed in Asana. Communication is done in Slack. And also, what I'm still responsible for is making like big decisions and giving what I call green lights in the company, basically moving the thing like down the path of the task itself. So I'm approving almost everything along the way. And that's mainly done by Excel spreadsheets. So we have like an Excel spreadsheet for a lot of small parts of the business. We put some data in there and then it just shows me option A or option B, just gives me all the data to make a decision. The managers come up with their own thoughts before, and then I give my own input on top of that.
Like your spreadsheets are incredible, by the way. I mean, you put a lot of thought behind.
Right.
You know,
they are very simple. They are not complex or anything. They are simple, but for the VAs like or your employees to understand. But yeah, the whole goal is to actually make decisions with them. So, yeah.
Okay. So, and when you're communicating with your team, so is it the managers communicating with everybody? Do you have like weekly meetings, monthly meetings?
Yeah. So I have 2 weekly meetings with my 2 managers. So one of them is more about like inventory management, reordering, those type of things. And also like pricing, PPC, like anything with our ongoing products. The other weekly meeting is more interesting. That's like product development and launching. So that's the 2 meetings that I have. Both last for like 60, 90 minutes long with them. And then they have, right after the meeting with me, they have another meeting with their internal teams. So one manager is managing 2 people, the other is managing 3. And that's kind of how it's structured. And then on top of that, we have like they are meeting without me regardless, obviously, like one-on-one all day and just talking between themselves. And also I have we have those strategy meetings as well once a month. So
all right. So and I think that's very important. If you're not with your team and you're not communicating with your team on a regular basis, it's really hard to get things done. And people want to be part of something, right? They want to see the growth of the company. They want to see what's happening. So it's nice when something like that can happen. All right. So that's interesting, the way that you're communicating with your team. One of the things that we're doing, I don't know if you do this. I don't know Asana. I know of it. But yeah. We have something on a project management tool called Teamwork. And yeah. I'm sure you can do this with like Mondays or ClickUp. Mm-hmm. But what we found is very important is creating tasks that it's dependence. Okay, yeah. So it depends on a person completing, then the task will open up.
Asana. Yeah, you can
do that in Asana
before you finish task A. That's all the task management tools nowadays. So everyone does the same thing. Yeah,
And so you just don't trip up. You know, I've had it where things were done before they should have been done, and it just doesn't make – like for rebates, for example, if you don't get the keywords and somebody does a rebate or somebody does a press release without the keywords, then you're all messed up. I've seen that happen.
Right.
Okay, Kels, more questions.
I will also add to this, like everything we are talking about, Norm, I think you have multiple businesses, obviously, and everything, and I think we are kind of on the same, you know, on the same page on everything, like how you should delegate and everything. But I can't say this is not for everyone. So I can say, for example, in my consulting, I had this guy doing everything on his own, doing like 200K per month. And I talked about like, you know, all of this stuff. And he was like, yeah, I want to start hiring. I want to do this and that and this. And I want to sell in 6 months my business. I'm like, so you don't need any of this stuff. Just focus on, he wants to sell and kind of wants out of Amazon. So I'm like, so why build this whole thing if you want out? Like this won't add anything to your bottom line. You know,
right.
And I had another guy that tells me like he was doing everything on his own and told me like I used to have a big team. He worked in a very, very big high tech company and everything. He was doing already almost 8 figures, almost entirely on his own. He had like one person doing customer service. And I talked to him about this stuff and he said, that's great, but that's not what I want. He prefers to work on his own many hours a day and not be worried about any employees or taking care of them or anything like that, because that's not what he wants. So this is not like what I'm doing or what Norm is doing or whatever you're doing right now. There is no right or wrong answer, but Amazon gives you the kind of the freedom to kind of choose which business you want to have. And you just want to be focused on that and do everything you can to kind of build towards that, your company. I wanted to have my business kind of run on its own. I'm not intending to selling it anytime soon because it's kind of just runs on its own, it grows on its own. So I don't really feel the need to kind of sell it. I'm not burned out, everything is fine. So that's kind of how I had to mention that, so yeah.
And I think it's really important when you said that it might be completely different for somebody else.
Right.
You've got to find, you know, what you're comfortable with. And I will recommend a book. I've talked about it before for entrepreneurs. It's called The E-Myth. There's tons of this type of book out there about policies, procedures, SOPs, running your company, right. Scalable, making it scalable and automated. But Michael Gerber's The E-Myth is the one that started me off. And it's interesting, you've probably seen this, but a lot of successful entrepreneurs or people that have launched on Amazon, this is... it happens a lot. You'll be very passionate about your product. you're going to grow the sales. You're going to watch your account. If you get that one star, it's going to kill you. You know, you love the product. You love the product so much, you drive the sales, you work around the clock, you finally hire somebody. The problem is you've never trained the person. So you get frustrated when they make mistakes. And at the end of the day, you take back that person's job only to do it again, hire somebody, but you don't train properly. So the problem...
I'll add to that, Norm, that none of us were born CEOs, right?
Right.
None of us were... No, this is my first actual business. And for many that are listening, this is... Maybe they don't even see it yet as a business, but it is. That's what this is. And you have to kind of grow yourself into it. No one was kind of, you know, did a degree and now they know how to be a CEO. It doesn't really work that way. You kind of have to learn it as you go. Yep. Being a CEO is one of the only professions that you can also move from industry to industry, right? Maybe you saw a CEO in a very big company managing 1,000 employees, quit, and then move to an entire different industry with like another 1,000 employees doing something completely different, but that's their profession. They know how to manage and move their people and company forward. So none of us were born CEOs, and that's fine, but you kind of have to learn as you go. There is no other way around this. So,
and there are, so that, by the way, that's called a sales roller coaster, which is something that Michael Gerber was talking about. And I saw something come up. It was called The E-Myth. It's called The E-Myth Revisited now is the name of the book. Mm. Yeah. So check it out. They also have a whole course, which I highly recommend. I went through the course. It was called The E-Myth Academy, and it's all done online now. So check that out. Like Tomer said, though, it's not for everybody. And I'll give you a great example. Our friend, Kevin King, he ran a bunch of listings. He never brought on a VA. Now, I think he's working because he's got a bunch going on right now. I think he's finally thrown in the towel and he's got a couple. But anyways, he managed eight-figure business with nothing.
But again, that's what he wanted.
That's exactly what he wanted. Yeah.
When he talked to him about hiring, he's like, that's great, but that's not what I want. So
right.
Again, it's all kind of a business that you want to have. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Kels, let's go. What are some questions now?
Okay. Yeah, we have a couple that came in.
All right.
Okay, so how do you manage your team or make SOPs if you're not good with English?
So again, it depends really on their position. Hopefully everyone that you hire have pretty good English. I think that's the most important thing, especially for customer support, for example, and for anything in this business, because they're going to be in touch with people all the time, either suppliers, either influencers, whatever it is, you want to seem professional. This is most of you, I assume you either sell in Amazon US or Amazon UK. It doesn't matter, you speak English, and you want your team to speak really good English, especially in writing. So their grammar, everything needs to be top-notch. So you just need to make the video. They're writing the SOP. I don't care if the SOP has mistakes in it, to be honest. I just want the kind of to get them to know what they need to do. And after they do it once, twice, three times, they will never look at that SOP again anyway. So SOPs are, again, really overrated. Everything is on YouTube now. If I see something and I want it to get done, I YouTube it. If I find it, I just send that video to my team. That's that the SOP, okay? It's that simple. Amazon keeps changing the backend anyway all the time. PPC is almost useless to do SOPs because they change everything on the backend every single day. So that's how this usually happens. SOPs are okay for the beginning to make sure they know the ropes type of thing, but then you just kind of grow out of it. So
you just hit something, Tomer. Okay, how do you know? We talk about this. How do you know you're getting the right information? You go to YouTube. You want to pass it on to your team. How do you know that this person knows what they're talking about?
No, I mean just small things like creating a shipment in Amazon, for example.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
How do you do that? So that's what I mean. You don't need to do it yourself in your Sell Central account. You just Google it and you find someone who did a video about it and that's it. So
it'll probably be Tomer. So
I have none of those videos yet.
Okay. Next one. How do you split divide your tasks? So what do you combine? Customer service plus social media plus ManyChat. Can that be combined for one employee?
Yeah, so the way I have my team set up, is I have two managers and two employees here, three employees here. The way I kind of looked at it from the very beginning is you have analytic people and you have creative people. So the analytic side is all about SEO, so PPC, keyword research, that stuff, and inventory management, because there is a lot of numbers like planning, inventory, all that stuff, negotiating, that type of stuff. So a lot of that is just analytic stuff. And then the other side is the more creative side. So that's like customer support, social media, product research, you know, all the design, copywriting, all of that stuff is under the same side. So basically what I'm saying, if you hire someone for customer service, don't give her to do PPC tomorrow because she's going to kill you if you do that. So you want to give her like social media, product research, talk to copywriters, graphic designers. She will love that. And then you can kind of grow the other side as well, which is more analytic. And I will say you want to start with whatever you are not. So kind of complete the other side. So I'm very analytic. So I decided to kind of grow the creative side first. And once that was kind of came about, then I grew the analytic side and just kept doing that by myself for a short while until I kind of built the entire team up.
And, you know, just on that subject, I've made this mistake many times, and I've got to constantly remind myself, am I putting too much, too many tasks on a certain person? So just because, just an example, just because somebody's good in sales doesn't make them a good sales manager. You know, when you're looking at social media, does not make them good with customer communications. Mm-hmm. So if you continue to pile and pile and pile because the person's good with one thing, you could lose a really good employee. And that has happened to me on two occasions over the last few years that I just put too much on the person, put them on a pedestal. And at the end of the day, they became not that great in anything.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. And also like when I kind of grow that employee, when they have like too much going on and we need to start delegating underneath them, I ask them, what do you want to delegate first? And then we talk about it. It's very important to keep the conversation always open, the line of communication open with your employees. How's everything going? Are you happy here? Do you see yourself in the company for the next 2 years? You just want to keep the conversation going with your team constantly to kind of see how they feel all the time. And again, this is just from reading business books, listening to different podcasts outside of Lunch with Norm, and like doing other things outside of Amazon. That's so important because this there is a book that I read that says innovation only comes from outside. So I really believe that. Like if you just learn Amazon all day, you will just know whatever other Amazon sellers know. But if you learn a different industry, you can kind of take that and use that for your Amazon business. And that's kind of where innovation comes from. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Kels, is there any more?
Yep. Yeah, we got a couple still. Okay. From Dr. Kaz, Tomer, you are a machine. Are you selling Shopify? Is your team trained only on Amazon or other marketplaces?
That's a great question. So Shopify, we spent like $50K trying to build our Shopify store for one of their brands, failed miserably. And then I decided not to focus on Shopify at all. So we still have a Shopify store for every single brand just to have it. We don't make any sales off of there. Under 1% of the sales are coming from there. So this is my thoughts about Shopify and other marketplaces and all of that stuff. So if you are doing that, that's great. But only do that. Please only do that if you are really passionate about your brand. If you're passionate about whatever it is that you sell and your passion is your brand, go ahead and build a Shopify store, go to retail, whatever it is, because this is your baby. This brand is your baby. Now, for me, I'm a lot more passionate about Amazon. So my passion is actually selling on Amazon. I didn't go into Amazon to go into retail. I could go into retail before that. I could build a website of my own and send traffic to it and all that stuff and do social media and blow it up that way. But that's not what I wanted. And also, I'm not really passionate about what I sell. I am very passionate about Amazon and the business model and the freedom it gives me and my family and everything. So I'm really like, I don't know a lot of sellers. There are obviously a few, but they are killing it on Shopify. I'd say over 20% of their revenue is coming from Shopify when they started from Amazon. I barely know anyone that made it happen. It's very difficult, more difficult than what most of you think probably. So if you think it's another sales channel or something, open a new brand. Do something else, do consulting, whatever. Open another stream of income but you don't have to go to Shopify. Like, I would just say launch more products. That's the best way to diversify your income, I would say, and a lot more than Shopify store.
You know, you're right. You know, there's all sorts of different channels out there, but one of the reasons, even if it's a one page, like you said, a very simple Shopify site, you want to do that because what's going to happen? You're a micro brand, you're on Amazon, people check you out. Where they're going to go? They're going to go to Google. And what
that's
generates,
completely fine. Yeah. Yep. That's completely fine, but they're going to buy on Amazon.
Yeah. They're going to buy on Amazon. Right. So they're going to check out maybe your social media, right, articles or your Shopify, and it's got to look good. As long as it looks good, then you build some authority. Authority builds trust. Trust builds sales.
Right. And you need to understand they are buying on Amazon because they trust Amazon. They don't trust your brand. They might look it up, as Norm said, and that's great. And you want to have that website. You want to have brand registry. You want to have a trademark. You want to have a store in Amazon, like a storefront, all of that stuff you want. But you don't need to kind of go nuts about, I really need to make this Shopify thing work. There is so much money to be made in Amazon. The biggest sellers that I know, 7, 8, even 9-figure sellers, 99% of their sales are coming from Amazon. I know you might have been told differently, but that's what I've noticed over the years.
So. How many 9-figure brands do you have?
No, I don't know. But I do know a few sellers that are doing 9-figures, so that's what I'm referring to, yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
A lot of those, by the way, in general. I think they are all in top 100 in Amazon, so as sellers. Yeah.
Okay, so for Milos, booking, what tools do you use?
For what?
Booking.
Booking what? Booking,
sorry, Milos, can you, I'm not sure.
Maybe, Milos, if you can clarify if you mean making meetings, or I'm guessing, like scheduling.
Oh, maybe that. So Milos, just, is that a meeting or a calendar app that you're looking at? Can you just clarify?
Yeah, we'll get back to that. But for now, Rad, do you design your own products, or how do you choose the winning products?
Yeah, so I have a whole methodology on product selection. Norm saw me speak of that in New York in January. That was my last time abroad since. But I talk a lot about this. We don't really do any crazy designs or patent designs or anything. We just improve products slightly and launch them on Amazon. So choosing the winning products is an entire talk, and maybe for the next podcast. So.
Yeah, that would be great. Actually, you came out to our event in Greece and talked about that too. That was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Bookkeeping is what he meant.
Oh, bookkeeping. We use QuickBooks. I have an LLC in the US. That's what we use for that. And I have another accountant in the US that I use for my Amazon business. Yeah.
Okay. So Milos, if you are looking for an accountant or a bookkeeper, I just ping us after the podcast. There's a guy that I know in the States that's very good with Amazon sellers and fairly inexpensive.
Okay.
There's Victor. He saw your presentation in Brooklyn. There you go.
Yeah. I gave him a $5 gift card to just jump on a podcast and say that. So, yeah.
All right. Do you have any good resources to build different types of SOPs?
You don't need different types. You need one type, and that's it, pretty much. It's again very simple. Make a video, have your employee write it down. You can make one SOP yourself. You can just Google like good SOPs or something. But again, don't worry about the design, don't worry about anything, it will be fine. So it's not a big deal.
I gave Victor $5 as well. So
just got a couple more. Okay. From Shaw, how can we avoid a listing going to keyword lock 32? Yeah. Is there anything specific that triggers a listing stuck into keyword lock?
Yeah, I know what this is about. This is a new glitch in Amazon right now going on. So I don't know anything that can get you kind of out of it, but I do know it comes and goes all the time. So if you look at your HIPAA or Helium 10 extension or whatever, you just see the jump in like keyword like all the time. Not in HIPAA, sorry, in Helium 10. Keyword tracker, you can just see there. Or whatever tool you're using.
So there's nothing getting around that right now, is there?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's see what Tony says. How do you feel about sites like FreeUp, which freely allow the VAs to meet off the platform and do screen share on Zoom, for instance, versus like Fiverr, where I recently got a warning because I used to send them a copy to my calendar link.
Yeah, FreeUp is great. FreeUp is what we used for the ManyChat I mentioned before. So FreeUp is a great site, again, to train your employees. That's one option. The other option is to kind of hire very skillful freelancers as well that know Amazon on a deep level. For example, I use FreeUp still for merging and splitting variations all the time with one guy they gave me a few years ago. And I don't trust my team with that because it's very sensitive, obviously, to like merge variations, spinning them up and everything. So that's what I still use for that. But yeah, they're amazing. And I think like better than Fiverr, for example, in whatever comes to really understanding Amazon on a deep level. So they're great for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're vetted. So it's, you know, less looking. One other thing, and I know this isn't for everybody, but a spinoff of FreeUp, Nathan Hirsch. So Nathan's been on, and he's got, if anybody's interested, I don't know if we have a link. We don't accept affiliate links here, but I think there might be some sort of bonus that we have for it, but the Outsource School, and it's with Nathan Hirsch. I'm a member of it. I wanted to take a look. If somebody wanted to go that one extra step, again, it's just a different approach to what either, you know, Tomer may be doing or I might be doing. It might give you that help that's needed. But again, it's called the Outsource School. And I think, Kelsey, we might have a bonus, or we'll contact Nathan and get something for you guys.
Yeah, I'm looking through the emails now. But yeah, if we do have it, I'll post it in. Yeah, so we are at the hour mark.
Okay.
Still have the giveaways.
Yep. What's so, I see Jason's asking something.
Oh, Norman Tomer, do you have a good Shopify guy?
Depends for what, Jason, but I strongly advise going to experts.shopify.com or just Google. I think I'm not sure that's the correct domain, but if you just type Shopify experts, you will see a lot of qualified people there, and they are vetted as well. You can see reviews about them and everything. We built a few sites with someone that we found through there. So I highly advise that. If you are building a new site or something, an even better option is 99designs.com. I found multiple graphic designers that I work with. If you go to my website, which is myname.com, you will see a website that was built with 99designs as well by finding a freelancer from there. And they are working with us now on more projects. So that's a great website to see like a lot of designs and then just choose the one you want to work with. So.
Okay.
Okay, and our last question. Do you have a good agent in China, like a Chinese employee?
Yeah, so good to see you here, Chris. Yeah, I know Chris. I have multiple sourcing agents that I work with. They were found in different ways, from recommendations, just going to Canton Fair, and also browsing Alibaba, actually. If you type in Alibaba sourcing agent, you can find a bunch of sourcing agents that way. And the way you kind of want to do that, I use sourcing agents kind of like I use Alibaba. So it's another search, like another way to search for products. So I basically send them like a list of things that I like about the product, things that I don't like about the product, and if they can help me to find a better version of it or to improve whatever exists. That's kind of how we use our sourcing agents and everything. So I highly recommend having sourcing agents in China. Not on a retainer or anything. You don't really need to do that. Just pay them like a one-off thing whenever for the first shipment. That's the best way to go usually.
Okay, very good. And just so we're at the end, I've got one question. But while we're talking about this one question, if anybody wants to be entered into the contest for 4 different one-hour sessions with Tomer, just put hashtag I want Tomer and you'll be entered. And we'll give you about 30 seconds to a minute while I ask Tomer the last question, which is, all right, we've already talked about a lot of this, but an action step. What's the 1, 2, 3 steps that people can do to get started?
So the first thing, I would suggest hiring someone for like $500, $600 a month as soon as you can afford it, full time. Like they don't start full time. They start like, you know, for a month, 2 months, whatever. And you build it up to full time once you see they are working full time for you. That's the first thing you want to do. And that person should be on whatever you are weakest at and you don't want to deal with anymore. And they're going to take that side off of you. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Next, you want to start organizing everything about your company. That can be in different departments or think about what it is that you want out of this Amazon business. Why did you start in the first place? And kind of go towards that for the next year, 2 or 3 years down the line. Because this is, I think, the only business model that I know of in the world that you can start with investing $10,000 in your first inventory and become a millionaire in 2 or 3 years. That doesn't exist, I believe, anywhere else in any other industry that I know of. That is legal, maybe. But yeah, I think those are the main two things that you need to do. And also, you want to grow yourself as you grow your business. You know, when you start out, you spent like $5,000, $10,000 on your first shipment. You didn't sleep at night, right? Because that was like a big investment. You put that 30% deposit, 70% deposit, you didn't sleep at night. And then what happened next, you needed to spend double, like $10,000 or $20,000 on the next inventory. Then Q4 comes and you spent like $80,000 on the inventory and you don't sleep at night, right? So you kind of have to get comfortable being uncomfortable in your own business. And just know that it's never going to get comfortable. A friend of mine just spent on Q4 $1 million on one ASIN for like stock on Q4. So you never get comfortable, you know, and he has a big business and he still doesn't sleep at night. So it all just, yeah.
You know what, Tomer? I just came off of a call with a client of mine that opened up their two containers. And they decided that this is 5 years dealing with this manufacturer. They didn't get an inspection done. And guess what? All of it, all the product was wrong. Yeah. So I'm just thinking about SOPs, right? But just simply getting that $300 inspection done would have saved people there. And you know, you want to make sure that you have systems in place.
And you also need to make sure you can fix them. So we had a shipment that we shipped with the wrong barcode on a packaging of a new variation. So we had the same barcode on that packaging for another product. So let's say we sell a 4-pack, then we shipped an 8-pack with the same FNSKU code. The supplier caught it, you know, that we missed it. And then we added just another step, you know, in Asana, in the task management tool, to check that the barcode is correct. That's all we did. It never happened again. Right. So whatever happens, you want to be able to go back and kind of fix it in your own processes every single time.
Right. Okay. So I think it comes to the Wheel of Kelsey.
Okay. So I believe I got everyone in here. I'll even shuffle up the names a little bit. Okay. So we have four to do. So the first one, 3, 2, 1.
Argo. Okay. There Argo we go. Is the first winner.
So we got Argo and Jeffrey. Let's see. 3, 2, 1.
These are good odds.
Yeah, not bad. Okay, Milos.
All right, fantastic. Can't believe you gave away 5 1-hour sessions.
Yeah, I'm going to outsource that. Don't worry.
Okay. Justin. Okay.
And the last one.
Jason.
Chris.
Okay.
Okay. So everyone, that is one. You can message me at k@lunchwithnorm.com. And yeah, I'll get you in touch.
Why don't you throw it in the comment section there, Kels? And yep. Everybody just get in touch with Kelsey, and then we'll forward all the information over to Tomer. So, sir, I don't know when we're ever going to meet again.
Yeah, hopefully soon. This is like way too much time in the house. So hopefully that's going to happen.
With two kids under three or two three and under. Three.
Yeah. That's intense. Yeah.
Lots of fun. All right, my friend. Thank you for coming on. We got to have you on again. Maybe we'll talk about product opportunity, but you know, you've got a million things that we can talk about. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Norm. And hopefully I'll see you soon.
All right. See you later, Tomer.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Just remember, if you go to Norm Farrar, AKA the Beard Guy, you'll be able to see not only this episode, but content and a bunch of clips that Kelsey's put there. If you want to watch the videos, just go to the YouTube channel, just called Norm Farrar. Kelsey, where are you?
I'm here. Thank you for watching, everyone. We had a huge turnout. I think this is like one of our biggest shows that we've ever done.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, then I guess we should announce the newsletter that doesn't suck.
There we go. Okay.
All right. So, hey, by the way, we do have a newsletter. It comes out today, every Monday, with content, how to become a better online seller, not just Amazon, but to become a better seller. All you have to do is go to lunchwithnorm.com or normferrar.com and just sign up there and you will receive this every Monday. Oh, and I should mention, by the way, our next guest, she's been on before and she was one of the most popular guests that we've had, Mayan Gordon. So she is an influencer. You know what? This lady has over, I think, 2.5 million followers on TikTok. So she is going to be talking about social media, the whole influencer marketing side of things. And that's going to be on Wednesday. So please join in then.
Yes. And actually, we're going to be releasing a secret episode into the group tomorrow. So this is pre-recorded Lunch with Norm. So the only way to watch it is to join the group. Okay. So
sneaky.
I know, right? So yeah, if you're interested in getting an extra bonus Lunch with Norm, go ahead and join the group. It's going to be released at 12 o'clock. I'm going to try. I have to download it onto Facebook. So if everything goes well, 12 o'clock, there is a giveaway with the secret episode.
Yeah, it's a great giveaway.
Yeah. So yeah. So join the group. We're looking forward to seeing you. We've got group is growing. We got over 300 people now, which is great to see. And we got people commenting, talking to each other. Friendships are being made. It's awesome. So yeah, highly recommend it. And you get access to me and Norm the whole time.
Well, too, so. You're the key. Okay, right. Everybody. So thanks again for joining us. And you can see us every week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And thanks again for, you know, sharing your time with us today. And enjoy the rest of your day. Lunch with Norm.